morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 396-0577 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John McKay, how are you doing over there?
Halloween coming up Monday.
Absolutely, man. It's been going crazy. I've been hearing all your ads for scare grounds and everything going. It's been that time of year, huh?
It's fun to watch people that think they're so tough just absolutely implode.
Absolutely lose it, for sure. And we have with us in the studio, as always, our in-house lending specialist, Mr. Tom Coyne with Umpqua. Tom, how you doing?
You know, doing fantastic. I like Halloween. I love seeing the little kiddos all dressed up. It's my boy's first Halloween. He's going to be Batman. He's got a great costume. So.
Oh, I think Mia's going to be Batgirl this year. Yes, absolutely. That's fantastic.
So, yeah, we're looking forward to it.
Good. It's definitely a fun time. And, you know, there's not a lot of events these days where you get to know all the neighborhood kids and see them out and coming by. So, yeah, it's a great time for sure.
I don't have too many trick-or-treaters.
Yeah, you're a little rural out there for sure.
I'm always ready. I got the lights on and nobody shows up. So we'll have to go somewhere.
We might have to do a detail. Tour and come see you this year for sure. Well, we have we always like to start off with kind of our crazy celebrity fun real estate story, and this one is a absolute iconic, I will call it, listing that hit the market. Now, this is in New York. This is the former YMCA in Chelsea. And now this particular YMCA is featured in one of the most uplifting videos ever. This is where the Village People performed their YMCA. Hmm. And so what happened is the place was sold in 2002. And what happened is they turned it into like a boutique condo space. I love these stories when you see like these old buildings or these old garment factories in these cities, and then they repurpose them into living space and condos. You can imagine a place that had a track and a former gymnasium, how incredible of a space this became, because they don't have this type of wide open spaces in the city like that. So you get 29-foot ceilings. It's now 7,000 square feet, are huge for that market. And the place, they just did an incredible job renovating it into a massive, massive residence. So, I mean, 29-foot ceilings. It's just incredible.
That's pretty sweet.
Very cool.
I'd hate to have to get the cobwebs off of that ceiling.
Yeah, that would be a little bit tough. Plus, you have the history involved in it. Now, that does come with a price tag, though. This coming in at $14.5 million. It did not say what it sold for as that commercial building in 2002, but I reckon it was a lot less than that for sure. So today, this is our Halloween special. This is one of my favorite shows that we do for the year. I've had people comment, mostly I think people like in the industry or other agents say, I hate that show because you freak my clients out about all this stuff. But it's Halloween, right? Like, we're supposed to be doing some scary stuff and looking at some scary things that have happened. Now, I tried to temper it a little bit this year. I take that feedback. We don't want to totally freak people out, but we do a little bit because it's Halloween.
Actually, we do.
We do. So I went and I looked at first what I did. I called some of my buddies in other markets. I called some people in Florida and Denver and other agents that I network with. And I collected some of their stories. But to start off, I took some of my own stories throughout the year. Like, what are some of the scary things that have happened? And the number one on my list that I put is vacant houses. Showing vacant houses at certain times can be a little scarier than others. But one in particular that I'll never forget, it was off of 10th Avenue, and it was in our multiple listing service, and it was listed as a vacant home. And it was later in the evening. It was, 5:36. I was showing clients, said the house was vacant, pulled up. The house looks vacant. So we go in the house. I'm showing the clients the kitchen. We're going back. We're showing the bedrooms. And no furnishings, completely vacant. And we open a door towards the back of the house. And I look, and all of the sudden, when I open that door, I'm staring at a bed and somebody sleeping in the bed. Like, just pure panic, Yeah. And so I closed the door real quick. I, tried not to slam it, and I literally looked at the clients, and I go,
"We gotta go.
Somebody's in there sleeping. We need to get out of the house right now." Because, you don't know what's gonna happen. Does that person have a weapon? Are they gonna wake up and be scared and shoot you? So what had happened was the person that owned the house had, it was his brother was in town for a week. They did not notify their agent that had the house listed on the market that he was staying there for a week. He's like, "Oh, sure, I've got a vacant house in Tri-City. Stay there. No one else is staying there." And didn't notify the agents and the people showing it. So needless to say, my clients didn't make an offer on that house. They were completely, it was just freaked out, uncomfortable. So I will never forget. I definitely think my heart stopped there for a minute. And that is not something that you normally see or experience, being in someone else's house, not knowing they're there.
That's a little spooky.
And then opening a door expecting to see a vacant room and have somebody lying there sleeping. So we totally got a kick out of that. Number two that I wrote down, and that was super scary, is one of the things we do is when we have vacant properties on the market, especially for out-of-town clients, we will do a weekly check on the property. So we'll go by, especially coming up this time of the year, one of the things that starts to happen is you've got pipes, and you've got water running through houses, and things happen. And so I'll never forget a house. This was over in Richland, and it was right off of Gothels, and we were over there, and I'm walking up to the front door, and I put the key in to do my check, weekly check, and I open the front door, and water runs out the front door and gets my shoes wet. And I look in the house, and the floors and the carpets are absolutely soaked. And what had happened is during the freeze and the previous week, the heat had been on and the heat, but there was a water line that ran through an uninsulated portion of the house, and it ran on the top. What had happened is when the owners left, they had set the thermostat at 45 degrees. Normally, when you're living in a house, you would have it set at, 65 degrees. Mm-hmm. Well, that difference, even though the heat was running a little bit in the uninsulated portion of where the water line ran, it froze and broke. And then it ran for, they don't know if it ran for 2 days or if it ran for 4 days, but sometime between the previous week and that week, it had ran. It had filled up the crawl space with water and then had completely soaked the floors in the house. And let me tell you, that is a scary thing. You're just standing there. You're like, what the heck happened here? Fortunately, in that situation, those folks had good insurance. It covered it. It got the house fixed, replaced. We were able to get it back on the market and get it sold. But it brought up a point that I always take these scary stories and what's some of the things we can do. You can be checking on those properties. You can have them winterized. You can make sure that you have the thermostat set at a proper setting when you're going to be leaving a property like that. And more importantly, is you can make sure that you have the proper insurance coverage in place. A lot of times, too, vacant properties are a higher risk category. And so insurance agents will make you put special riders on the property or change the type of policy that you have. So when you move out of a house and it becomes vacant, or you change a house from an owner-occupied to a rental property, you're going to need to notify your insurance agent. A lot of times in the same line of thinking, we see folks, they will have a policy on their house. It's called an owner-occupied policy. They will change their home into a rental. They will move out to another house. You've got a renter in there. What happens is there's a claim. Let's say there's a water heater that leaks and it buckles all the floors. Insurance claim adjuster shows up. Guy lets him in the house. The insurance claim adjuster says, okay, great. Yeah, I see everything here looks good. Sir, could you sign this document and we will get the claim processed? And the tenant looks at him and says, oh, sorry, no, I'm not signing that. This isn't my house. I just rent it. Ding, ding, ding. Red light. Insurance company says, oh, well, hey, you didn't have a renter's policy. You had a owner-occupied policy, we're not going to cover this. Mm. I mean, those are that's scary.
Real
that's,
things that happen.
That is scary real estate story. So being in communication with your insurance agent in conjunction with the real estate, extremely important deal. Another, I wrote down that one of the scariest things that have happened to us during these years of real estate is we were showing a house to a client, a vacant property. And it's funny, you never forget these houses. Like I could leave the studio and drive to every one of these houses because it's like it emblazes in your mind when these events happen. Showing a house, kids are with us, about 10, 11-year-old kid at the client, opens the back slider, goes out on the back deck, vacant house. Bees had made a huge nest in the corner of the eave by the back patio. They're swirling around. Kid gets stung by the bee, and he's allergic to bees. And so we're in a vacant house. We're out there. It was out in Rancho Riata showing the house. Ended up having to have an ambulance come
to
take the kid. Luckily, he was fine. Everything was great. But once again, it comes along with this insurance category, making sure, you know, that happened on somebody's property, making sure the proper insurance is in place. That we're just very fortunate. Medical personnel was awesome. Great emergency responders in Tri-Cities. Thank you for everything you do. Worked out fine. It just was one of those situations that could have been terrible. And so, again, property maintenance. It's funny because all three of those first scary stories came from vacant homes. I didn't even realize that when I wrote that out, but I'm like looking back here and said, okay, all three of these were in that situation where you're not there every day. Maintenance items start to slip that you don't see because you're not there every day. So those were some crazy local, really, really scary real estate stories. When we come back from the break, I've got a couple more. I've got some national ones that I think make my local ones look tame. There's some people that have had it way worse than me with some scary real estate stories. And then we're going to talk to Tom a little bit on some of the things that are Halloween scary in the lending industry.
Lance, before we go, I got a little teaser here.
Give it to me.
I got some Halloween jokes.
Okay, give it to me.
What kind of dog does a mad scientist have?
Tom, I have no idea.
A lab.
A lab.
There's more to come, folks.
There's more to come. We'll be right back with our Halloween jokes and crazy real estate stories.
Right here on News Talk 870.
That is awesome. Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. This week, the scary real estate updates. We're doing a Halloween special. We're getting in the spirit. Everybody's getting ready for Monday. And so we thought we'd do some scary real estate stories. This is a very fun show to prepare for. I probably spent way too much time digging through these stories. After I got through all of them, I felt very, very fortunate that a number of those things had not happened to me. So this is market research for me of what to not have happen. But on the lending side of things, Tom, I know you see some scary stuff. You gave us a great joke as we went into the last break. You probably have another one if I had to guess, but what's going on in the lending world?
You know, Lance, I do have a couple more jokes I want to start with, and then we'll get to the scary lending things here. So what's it like to be kissed by a vampire? It's a pain in the
neck.
Okay,
okay, got I got that one. Okay, Lance is on point there.
What's a skeleton's favorite instrument?
Oh, gosh. I have
trombone.
Oh, John gets McKay. Point. Okay.
Well, you told me the answer.
What's the daddy ghost say to his family when they go for a drive? Fasten your sheet belt.
You're killing me.
That's pretty good. Okay, last one with the election coming up. Why are vampires Democrats? They want blank in 2016.
I have no idea on that one.
I know this, but I'll let you give it.
Gore in 2016. Oh,
did you just make a Halloween and election joke at the same
time? At the same time.
Okay, that's over the top. I thought I was prepared for the show.
Now,
you're
folks,
really prepared.
If you want the whole list, I got a bunch of them. Just shoot me an email. My email's on the website. I'll send it to you and
awesome.
Share with your friends and family. But, yeah, there has been some scary things that have come up in lending over the years. And I have a good list here, and all of these have happened at one point or another. So, ultimately, what makes these scary is that if these things happen, you can maybe not get your house. And obviously, if you're packed up, ready to move, that's a bad thing that could happen. So first scary thing that could happen is you buy a car, furniture, you charge up existing accounts, you open up new accounts, you do something with your credit during the processing of your loan. So when you go in, you take an application with the lender, they're approving you as you sit right now. One of the very last things we have to do is refresh your credit right before we send your docs to escrow to make sure there's no credit inquiries on there. Those inquiries are then going to lead us to ask you, what's this inquiry from? And you may say, oh, you know, I went down and bought a new truck and it's got a $700 payment. And then we say to you, maybe a few days before closing, you're no longer qualifying for your house. You better see if they'll take that truck back. That could be pretty scary, Lance.
That's extremely scary and not an easy thing to get out of.
It's absolutely not. And I think everyone out there has heard the scary stories about people saying, oh, my lender kept coming back over and over and asking for stuff. Well, one thing could lead to another. Like that inquiry could lead us to asking, what is this from? Could lead us to getting documentation on that loan, to having to go back to underwriting again. So none of these things help your scenario. If you can avoid them, please do. Wait till you get the house and then open those new accounts. Another thing that comes up is, let's say people are getting ready to buy a house and maybe the house payment's a little bit higher than their previous one and they want to try to reduce their payments. They'll go in and refinance their cars prior to closing their loan without talking to their lender to get a lower payment. It's going to do a couple things for you. We're going to have to get added documentation on that new loan. And also, new accounts can potentially lower your credit scores. You might have remembered that show from last week. We were talking about credit. If you go and open a brand new auto loan because you paid the old one off, your credit scores could go down, which means you could have a higher rate for the next 30 years while you have your mortgage. That could be a scary thing.
Like, extremely scary. Okay, that's a good one.
Another thing that's happened, just like we have to go right at the end and refresh your credit, we also have to call on the day we're sending out docs and get what's called a verbal verification of employment. We call your employer. We say, does Bob Smith still work there? We've heard no. Bob Smith left a week ago. This is the real thing that's happened. So then we call Bob up and say, Bob, we just called XYZ company and they say you no longer work there. And he says, oh, well, yeah, I switched employers last week. I thought I told you guys. Well, no, Bob, you didn't.
Right. Exactly.
Well, now let's say you go from maybe a salaried position to straight commission, and you now have absolutely no history of receiving this commission income, you're not going to get your home loan. Or just any sort of different pay structure, maybe it's a completely different line of work. All sorts of these, or all these different scenarios can affect your loan and maybe make it to a point where you're no longer approved. Another thing that becomes an absolute headache for people is their bank statements. And I think this is where people most of the time will say, geez, why do you need this? You know, I just had cash in the safe. But it's the bank statements. The number one thing is moving money around from account to account. So a lot of people out there have several different accounts. Maybe they have an investment account. Maybe they're pulling funds from retirement. But we're always going to get 2 months bank statements. And if we see deposits that are out of the ordinary on there, we have to source where those come from. Essentially, what lenders are trying to document is it not a loan of some sort? And if it's a loan, now that's an account that you have to repay, which then it affects your debt to income. So when you're in the months leading up to buying a home, try not to be moving money around and let your lender kind of guide you on what's going to be easiest for you so that it's not a complete headache with your bank statements. Cash deposits, another thing. There's absolutely no way to source cash deposits to prove where it came from. So a lender's not going to allow those to be used in qualifying for your loan. Another one we ran into, client was selling some livestock. but he didn't have actual proof of ownership of those cows. So we sold them. We had all these checks coming in, but there was no way to prove that those were his cows to sell. Couldn't use those funds to qualify.
You didn't have title on those cows?
No title.
Okay.
No title.
Okay.
If you're selling a car, you know, you got a bill of sale, you got a title.
Wow. Right. That is scary. You're right. That's really scary.
Easier to document. Last one I want to talk about is not locking your rate if you're building a house for, say, 6 to 9 months. Everyone knows there's an election right around the corner. Talk about scary, right? Okay, so that's coming up. Nobody knows what's going to happen with rates. What I do know is that there's a lot of uncertainty, and rates are really, really good right now. Could they get better? Maybe, right? But could they get worse? Absolutely. So if you're building a house, you're looking at January, February, March, April, May for closing. Who knows what rates are going to be in 5-6 months? What we know is that you could execute a 6 or 9 month rate lock right now and get today's interest rates next year. So if you're building a house, absolutely call me and I'll get you a quote on what it would look like for an extended rate lock so you aren't scared when you start seeing those rates go up.
Tom, and that is a couple times in the last couple of years, very real life scenario, very scary. We've had clients together where that's happened, where they're betting that the rates are going to go down. They're like, I think the rates are going to go down. I'm not going to lock. And what ends up happening is if their debt to income ratio is close and they've, say, maxed out their budget to build a new house, if that rate goes up and then it changes their payment by $200 a month, then they don't have the room to qualify for the loan. So, I mean, talk about an emotional roller coaster. You've picked out colors, you've picked out paint, you've driven by to see your new house every day for the last 3 months. And then because you didn't lock your rate, you're not getting your house. That's really scary.
It really is. Now, big thing, if you're already working with another lender, ask them about their extended rate lock program. If you don't like what they have to say, or you think maybe Tom really does have a great extended lock program, call me. I'd be happy to get you a quote. And then you take the guessing game out of it, or what are interest rates going to be?
Okay, Tom, I've got some more scary real estate stories.
I want to hear it.
Here's a great one from an agent that I know down in Arizona. As you know, big, huge, large tracts of land. Market turns in 09, goes down. Land sales not going very, very well. Big tracts of lots that nobody's built on. He gets a client. They want to build a house on one of these subdivisions. Of course, the owner's ecstatic. Anybody's even driven through the subdivision in the last 2 years. Sell them a lot. So the real estate agent goes out a couple weeks later, and they're looking around, and he goes, you got to come see this house, this gorgeous house I'm building on the lot. He drives up, and he looks at the foundation, and he looks at the house, and just something feels off to him. So he pulls out the plat map and he counts from the corner of the street to the number of lots that they're on.
Please don't tell me he was on the wrong lot.
He was absolutely. He had put a foundation. And people are like, well, how could that happen with these building departments? But they had hundreds of lots and they had approved the permit for XYZ lot. And they had done that. So all of the sudden, they've got foundation and they've got the house going up on the wrong lot. So I'm not saying I advise how the situation was rectified or that, but I'll just tell you what ended up happening is they went back to the seller and they said, you know what? Everything's going so well. We'd like to buy a second lot from you.
Can we close tomorrow?
And they did not tell him. And they ended up buying the lot that the house was actually on, solved their problem there, and then resold the vacant lot. And of course, you know, a lot of this was done for a loss, but it wasn't as big of a loss as there could have been. So they were able to rectify that situation. But I'm just like, I wasn't even believing what he was telling me on the phone if I didn't know this guy better. Scary, scary story. So verifying, definitely verifying that you are on the correct property, what lot goes with what purchase and sale agreement. And sometimes, you know, they say measure twice, cut once. Well, you know, check, make sure your lot. You might check three times to make sure that you've got the correct lot.
That's brutal.
So that was an absolutely really scary one also. Another one to really look at and consider, and this came off a realtor's website, is, and this has happened before, we've seen this happen to people. A lot of times in real estate, you sign the papers, And then 2 or 3 days later, the house officially closes because those documents get sent back to the lender. Then the lender reviews those, makes sure those documents are okay, and then you'll fund maybe then the next day on the third day. Well, a lot of people, just because they don't buy houses every day, they don't realize that sometimes they don't own the house yet in that position. So what will happen, and sometimes, too, you even find agents that aren't very experienced. I mean, it happens. You know, they go through the class and everything, they don't know. We've seen it before where they've signed the paperwork and then that other agent has given the buyers the keys. So a lot of times people will go by, and we've seen it before. And in this particular story, the agent goes by and she looks the next day, just going to get a few more last minute items out of the house for her sellers. And the buyers are completely moved into the house and they don't own the house, and all of the issues that this could potentially cause. I mean, Tom talked about scary things on the lending side. What if they make that verification of employment that final day and that person is in the house, the buyer's in the house? So then from a seller's perspective, you look, oh my gosh, you potentially have a tenant now that's in the house and they don't own the house. And did you sign a lease and did you sign early occupancy? There are so many scary things about that scenario that just proper documentation needs to be in place. And so that is one of those things that we're constantly working with our customers to make sure that we have the documentation in place, people have the proper permissions, and then you're covered from an agreement and an insurance perspective in those situations. So those were definitely some of the scariest real estate stories that we've seen over the last 17, 18 years. And there are some even, I even held back a little bit because if on the website, there are some scary, scary ones. What's not scary is some great inventory that we have, Tom. I've got three.
I love the transition.
For the pick three, I've got some great new listings. 2177 Morenci Drive in Richland. This is a 4-bedroom, 3-bath with a den. This is a home in Crested Hills. 2327 square feet, great living room, vaulted ceilings. Kitchen has granite counters, lots of counter space. You've got breakfast bar, pantry, opens up to the dining and family room. Then you have a den office on the main level, could be a 5th bedroom. And then upstairs, you have the 3 additional bedrooms and the master. Slider off of the kitchen to a great pergola-covered patio and just a fantastic, fully fenced yard with some great water features. This is coming in at $338,000. So to get that South Richland location in Crested Hills, great, great property. Pick number two in Pasco. This is just an amazingly maintained 3-bedroom, 2-bath Rambler, open layout, vaulted ceilings, major upgrades with granite counters, stainless steel appliances, and laminate wood floors throughout the living room and kitchen. This is just one of the nicer 3-bedroom, 2-bath West Pasco Ramblers that I've seen. And this is coming in at $185,900. And I tell you, that price range is really, really hot right now. So that is a fantastic property. And then pick number three, 4810 Starburst Court. This is out in Richland. This is a 4-bedroom, 3-bath Rambler with a basement on Candy Mountain. So you get some amazing panoramic views. It was very, very high quality Gale Roux construction, 3,260 square feet, beautiful hardwood floors, sunken living room with built-ins, gas fireplace, quartz countertops in the kitchen. Great, great master bath in this property. Master bath also walks through to the laundry room. I love that when people get that layout where you can go from your master bath into the laundry room. Tom, for someone like me that doesn't like to do laundry in the first place, might as well get it as close as possible.
Yeah, you just throw it right in the laundry room from the bathroom.
Throw it right in there. So it is a fantastic property. This is priced at $425,000. So very, very high-end, custom, beautiful home. There's some great property coming on the market right now. We're going into traditionally a time of year where people are like, gosh, we have less inventory on the market. But we have had a year where we've continually had a low inventory situation. We're still getting sellers that know that they can take advantage of that, even with the time of year. So they're putting some great properties on the market. There will still be those opportunities for our buyers. Feel free to go to kenmoreteam.com. Shoot me an email or a message if you have any questions about some of the things we talked about today. Tom, for pre-qualifications, how can people get a hold of you?
TomCoinHomeLoans.com. Hey, you guys want one more joke?
One more joke.
Fire when
to
ready.
Say have an amazing Halloween.
Let's see. Why did the Cyclops quit teaching? He only had one pupil. Happy Halloween,
Happy
everybody.
Happy Halloween, everybody. Enjoy the week, and we will be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.